Welcome to Discovering the Jewish Jesus with Rabbi Schneider. I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and today we'll be looking at Christ's bride and Solomon's couch. The Song of Songs is one of the most beautiful love stories in all of literature, but there are so many people who have never read it. King Solomon wrote his tiny controversial book as a parable about God's love for Israel and for us. And that's why Rabbi Schneider is going to take us on a journey through the mysteries of the Song of Songs. And if you've missed any of the messages in this series, you can catch up online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. But first, here is Rabbi Schneider from the beautiful lakes of Florida.
We're going to move on to fresh material today as we pick up in verse number 6. Who is this, or what is this, coming up from the wilderness? Like columns of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the scented powders of the merchant. And what is going on here is this is a prophetic seer sight into the marriage supper of the Lamb. What the Shulamite bride is going to describe for us here is that Solomon, King Solomon, who's a prophetic shadow of King Jesus, is coming up and he's gloriously moving towards his marriage to the Shulamite bride. Behold, it is the traveling couch of Solomon, 60 mighty men around it of the mighty men of Israel. All of them are wielders of the sword, experts in war. Each has his sword at his side, guarded against the terrors of night. I'm going to skip to verse 11 and then we'll skip back, but I just want you to hear verse 11 so it will help put you in context here of what's going on. Go forth, O daughters of Zion. And these were just those that were accompanying the Shulamite bride, those that are watching this marriage. And gaze on King Solomon with the crown with which his mother has crowned him on the day, listen now, key verse, on the day of his wedding and on the day of his gladness of heart. So what we are observing here is what I call, beloved one, the journey into divine love. In the earlier chapters in our study, we examined how the Shulamite bride had an initial encounter with the Lord. She got saved in New Testament language. And those days were so spectacular with her, for her. They were so filled with emotion. She was so in love with Jesus. And then we saw that eventually Jesus moved her beyond that to begin to conquer things in her life so that she could become conformed to his image. He began to cause her roots to go deeper as he brought her through various challenges. And now what is happening is that she's moved through challenges into maturity. So think about this. In our life as New Testament believers, years have gone by. Think about it. Your initial days of salvation, that experience, and how in love you were with Jesus. And then you had to face life in terms of going through the challenges of just living in this world, right? I mean, all the things that we deal with in this earth, you know, occupation, relationships. Some have dealt with health issues. Just the challenge of living in the earth where so many are unredeemed and we oftentimes are not treated right. All the things that we deal with in this world. Life is hard. And as we've clung to the Lord through hardship, God has established us in Him. James says we should rejoice when we go through trials because the result of enduring them as we cling to the Lord through trials is that the roots of our faith are established. We become conformed to Jesus' image. We get established in our faith. And so again, it takes years to move into this process and through this process, and it's still going on. Those of us that are more mature, there's a peace that's come into our life. There's a soundness of mind. There's a maturity. And obviously we still have a long way to go. But as we are established and move into maturity, the hope of glory, the return of King Jesus, the marriage supper of the Lamb, becomes even more of a focus for us. We realize that all the things in this world are passing away. Nothing in the world has much allure for us anymore. Those of us that are mature in the faith, that have observed that the things of this world, they come and go. So more and more now, our focus is on meeting Jesus face to face, that time that Revelation chapter 19 describes as the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so the Shulamite bride now has matured in her walk with God. She's moved past the initial intimacy. Then she's gone through some hard times. And then she fell away at one time by refusing to go where the Lord was calling her to, by refusing to repent. She wanted to stay in her comfort zone. Then she realized unless she repented, unless she came out of her comfort zone to obey the Lord, that she was not going to feel close to Him anymore. So she learned that lesson the hard way. She tried to stay where she was and wouldn't obey when God was trying to move her on. She recognized her lack of being pliable to the Lord's leading in her life resulted in a break in fellowship. She endured that. She learned her lesson. And then after she had learned that disobedience causes a break in fellowship, the Lord merciful brought her back to Him. And when she was brought back to Him, she said, "I'm never going to let you go again." And the scripture goes on to say that she wanted to bring her relationship with the Lord into the room where she was conceived, meaning that she just wanted her entire life at this point to be shared with Jesus. She wanted to bring Him in to the most intimate conversations in her heart. She wanted to know that she was fully known. And the way to know that you're fully known, beloved one, is to talk to God about everything. And so she said, "I'm never going to let you go again. I'm going to bring you into the room where I was conceived." So that brought us to where we are today. Now that this incredible relationship has been forged, she's looking forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so she sees this glorious couch prophetically coming up out of the wilderness. What is this coming up from the wilderness? Like columns of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the scented powders of a merchant. Behold, it is the traveling couch of Solomon, 60 mighty men around it of the mighty men of Israel. She's just describing glory. All of them are wielders of the sword, experts in war. Each man has his sword at his side, guarding against the terrors of the night. I want to just make a comment before I go on here. This relationship that you and I are in, beloved, Jesus is guarding it. We are figuratively on right now the marriage couch of Jesus. That's what she's seeing, this marriage couch. I'm going to show you in a moment, coming gloriously out of the wilderness. You and I are seated on that couch. We are being prepared for, once again, what Revelation 19 calls the marriage supper of the Lamb. While you and I are yet in this world, we are being guarded. That's what she saw here, that the marriage couch was being guarded against the terrors of the night. Listen again. All of those that are participating in this, all of them are wielders of the sword, experts in war. Each man has his sword at his side, guarding against the terrors of the night. We're being guarded with angelic activity. Those of us that are called to this marriage couch, to this marriage supper, we're being guarded while we are yet in the world. Remember, Jesus prayed in John 17. He said, "Father, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one." I want you to know, beloved, I understand, and I feel the same thing that many of you do. This world is a dangerous place, and it's becoming more dangerous as each year goes by. So many things have happened. So many doors have opened for the enemy to come in and cause havoc. It's a dangerous world. Just as the disciples were in danger on the Sea of Galilee all those years ago when the storm came. But like those disciples who had Jesus on the boat with them in the midst of the storm, so too, beloved one, you and I have Jesus with us, and as we're in the earth, we're being guarded. To the Shulamite bride, described this marriage sofa as being guarded with warriors that were experts in war, guarding, here we read, against the terrors of the night. I want you to know that you can sleep safe at night because you're protected.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and Rabbi will be right back. If you're looking to better equip yourself in your study, pursuit, and growth in Jesus the Messiah, be sure to go online and explore our treasury of Messianic content. You'll find messianic teaching tools and videos, information about God's seven annual feasts, the Hebrew names, titles of God, and so much more. This content is ready and available for you today online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. To become a blessing in someone's life today, get in touch to partner with us. Our mission is to prepare the world for Jesus' return, and your financial gift is channeled directly toward this worthy cause. Take your first step today by calling 800-777-7835. That's 800-777-7835. Or visit us at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. Your contribution will equip others for Messiah's return. And now here is Rabbi Schneider with the rest of today's message.
Let me bring you on just a side trail for a second that is a real blessing to me, this tidbit of revelation. We're just going to take a sidestep. I'm going to bring it back to the text. You know, many of us that have read the story of Passover, and even those of you that are very familiar with the story of Passover, we read about how the children of Israel in ancient Egypt took the blood of a lamb and put it over their doorpost, over the lintels of their home and over the top of the doorpost there. And the scripture says when the angel of death passed through the land of Egypt that night, when the angel saw the blood, he passed over every home that was marked by the blood. What I want to stress here is that of course, is a shadow of a relationship that we're in with Jesus, who is called the Lamb of God in the book of Revelation 31 times. In fact, John the Baptist introduced Jesus as the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. I want you to know this. Because the Lamb's blood is applied, beloved, over your doorpost, over your life, you're protected from the enemy. You see, when the destroyer moved through the land of Egypt, he had to pass over every family that had a blood covering. It's not just the Lord that sees Yeshua's blood over your life. It's the devil that sees Yeshua's blood over your life. You are protected from the devil by the blood of Jesus. And so let's continue on. We've just got done reading that there are experts in war that are protecting you and I, even as the Shulamite bride saw that there were experts of war protecting this marriage supper. I'm picking up in the text on verse number 9. King Solomon has made himself a sedan chair from the timber of Lebanon. He has made its post of silver, its back of gold, its seat of purple fabric, with its interior lovingly fitted out by the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O daughters of Zion, and gaze on King Solomon with the crown. Remember, King Solomon is a shadow of Jesus, with which his mother has crowned him on the day of his wedding, on the day of the gladness of his heart. And so this whole song, the Song of Songs, culminates with the wedding between King Solomon and the Shulamite bride. Why am I stressing this? Because our relationship with the Lord, it's not just a relationship between us and our Savior. Yes, Yeshua has saved us from our sin, but he didn't come to earth and shed his blood just to save us from our sin. He came to marry us. Jesus came to marry you. That's why, once again, Revelation 19 culminates with the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's why Jesus told parables about the wedding. That's why John the Baptist described himself as the friend of the bridegroom. That's why Paul told us in the book of Ephesians that the earthly marriage relationship between a man and his wife is a shadow of the relationship between King Jesus and his bride. We are the bride of Christ. Jesus didn't come just to save you. He came, beloved, to marry you. And that's why the Song of Songs is such an intimate prophetic portrait of the type of relationship that Jesus has with his bride. Let's continue on in chapter 4. Yeshua now is talking to his bride. Of course, this is prophetic through Solomon to the Shulamite bride. And we pick up in verse 1, Solomon or King Jesus is speaking to his bride. How beautiful you are, my darling. how beautiful you are. And then what happens is Solomon in the natural and King Jesus in the supernatural starts praising the beauty of his bride. Listen to this now. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. I want to rebuke self-rejection off of you. Many of us stumble when it comes to being able to accept ourselves. We don't feel comfortable in our own skin. We struggle with feelings of inferiority. I want you to know, beloved one, you are beautiful beyond words, beyond your imagination. You are so beautiful to God because you're created in His image, and inside you is something so glorious you can't even comprehend it. Listen to what happens in chapter 4. Jesus is talking to his bride prophetically. He says, "How beautiful you are, my darling. How beautiful you are. Your eyes are like dove's eyes." And then I'm just going to briefly go through. Next, he praises her hair. Then he says how beautiful her teeth is. Next, he praises her lips, then her mouth, then her temples, then her neck. He says to her, "Your two breasts are like fawns, twins of a gazelle, which feed among the lilies." The main point is that Jesus is going down the characteristics and the attributes of his bride from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, telling her how beautiful she is. I want you to know, beloved, you're beautiful, and so am I to Jesus. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that we stand before the Father in the Son, holy and blameless. You and I are holy and blameless in God. He's attracted to us. He sees himself in us. Because you're created in his image and his Son lives in you. So he's attracted to you. He's attracted to you. That's why he sent Jesus to die for you, because he's attracted to you. And now he wants you and I to respond to him and love him back in the same way that he loves us. So I just want to rebuke off you right now in the name of Yeshua of Nazareth, the lying spirit of self-rejection. And conversely, I reject the spirit of pride that might be plaguing you that's coming in between you and the Lord. Our beauty should not lift us up like it did Satan. Satan saw his beauty and it made him prideful, which made him fall. We, on the other hand, accept how beautiful we are to God, but not in a way that we look at ourselves in the mirror and praise ourselves, but in a way that we're just so humbled by recognizing how lovely and beautiful we are to God, because it's for him that we were made beautiful. Will you accept the fact that you're beautiful to the Father? That you're beautiful in and to Jesus? He gave his life so that you could be beautiful to him. Now he's just asking you to accept it. Will you accept the fact that you're lovely to the Lord? Jesus calls his bride lovely here on several occasions. "How beautiful you are, my darling," he says in verse 1. "How beautiful you are." And then in verse number 7, "You are altogether beautiful, my darling, and there is no blemish in you." You are altogether beautiful, Yeshua said to her, and there's no blemish in you. Father, thank you for making me beautiful to you through the blood of Jesus. Thank you for sanctifying me through the finished work of Christ, through the renewing power of the Holy Spirit, and from the sanctifying power of your word. Thank you for making me righteous to you. Thank you, Father, that you love me and that I'm beautiful to you. And now, Father, I will not sin against you by rejecting who I am. I will accept myself in you, because it's for you that I was made. Thank you for who I am, and thank you for your love.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus and the Bible Teaching of Rabbi Schneider. In addition to this teaching, we also have a wide variety of resources and study guides available to help you go deeper in your studies of the Song of Songs. So if you'd like to learn more about this engaging and loving book of the Bible, then please visit us online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. These resources, they're an excellent companion to take your study of today's message deeper and to make it more applicable to your life today. These tools and our daily programs are made possible in part because of friends like you who partner with us prayerfully and financially. And to tell us a little bit more about why your support is so important to this nonprofit ministry, I want to turn it back over to Rabbi.
The scriptures teach us that no good thing does he withhold from those that love him. Jesus said, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto us." As we come to the close of the broadcast today, I want us to ask ourselves, are we adequately loving God with our wealth? I know that many of us have heard messages on this before, and as soon as we hear a discussion about finances, we're kind of jaded, it turns us off. But the reality is, the scriptures are clear that God's people are called to honor him with the first fruits of their wealth. I just want to ask you today, beloved one, if God is blessing you through this ministry, would you honor him with your wealth through this ministry? The scripture tells us that when we honor him with our lives, it comes back to us, pressed down, good measure, running over into our lives. Let's trust him, let's honor him, and let's love him. I want to thank you in advance for your love and for your gifts. God's richest blessing on your life. I love you and shalom.
To give a one-time gift today or to partner with us by giving a monthly gift, simply visit discoveringthejewishjesus.com or give by connecting with one of our friendly team members. The number to call is 800-777-7835. That's 800-777-7835. You can also give a donation through the mail by writing to us at Discovering the Jewish Jesus, P.O. Box 777, Blissfield, Michigan 49228. We are truly so grateful for all of your support. And as our way of saying thank you for your generous financial gifts, we'll send you Rabbi Schneider's Message of the Month, along with our current newsletter. And for those who are new monthly partners, we'll have an additional gift of appreciation, an authentic shofar that's made in Israel. The shofar is just one of the ways that we express our gratitude for every single new monthly partner. So please join the team today. You can become a monthly partner by writing to us at Discovering the Jewish Jesus, P.O. Box 777, Blissfield, Michigan 49228. And then if you haven't signed up to receive Rabbi's text, it's not too late. There are personal, heartfelt texts that will equip and encourage you. Sign up now by visiting rabbidevotion.com. Thanks for sharing this half hour with us today, and I wish you a wonderful weekend. Here's Rabbi Schneider to wrap up this message with a special blessing.
In the book of Numbers, chapter 6, the Lord gave instructions to Moses and Aaron to speak this blessing over his people. And the Lord said, "When you speak these words over my people, I will place my name on them and bless them. Receive the impartations of the Lord's blessings."
Yavarechecha Yahweh Vayishmarecha Ya'er Yahweh Panav Elecha V'hunecha Yisa Yahweh Panav Elecha Ve'asem Lecha Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up with his countenance, and the Lord give you, beloved one, His peace. God bless you, and shalom.
I'm Dustin Roberts, and Discovering the Jewish Jesus is a production of Shalom Ministries. Be sure to join us again when Rabbi Schneider continues our study regarding the mysteries of the Song of Songs. That's Monday on Discovering the Jewish Jesus.